Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
We need to have branding of our own that communicates the goodness of God's design, that people buy into the language of His design for the family.
You're listening to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. James Dobson for the next 2 days. And joining us in studio today is a guest who's going to provide some much-needed clarity on an issue that you may have been wondering about. Has it seemed to you in recent years that the culture and the messaging in the culture has gotten so far away from the biblical worldview and God's standard for living that it's almost irredeemable? There's no way we can actually get back in the swing of what God has in store for us. Aaron Brownback is with me today in studio. Aaron is the former director of marketing and communications for the Sanctity of Life work at the Alliance Defending Freedom. She's the co-founder and leader of the Philadelphia chapter of Concerned Women for America. She has a master's degree in rhetoric and discourse from Carnegie Mellon University and is currently working on a PhD in social transformation. Aaron Brownback, welcome to the studio today.
Thank you, Roger. It's so great to be here.
Aaron, let's talk a little bit about the whole concept here of messaging. Now, you said that messaging is kind of a definition here, a strategic long-term use of language that shapes the public perception about an issue. Okay, well, how did God lay this desire to work in this field, to help communicate these truths? How did God lay this on your heart?
Well, you know, Roger, when I was growing up, what really mattered to me, what I really cared about was beauty and femininity and purity and how those played out in our culture. And then I started working in the pro-life world, and I realized that that was when those things became broken, that was the outcome. Abortion was the outcome of the breakdown of femininity and purity and beauty and women feeling valued for those things. And as I worked on the pro-life world and the pro-life messaging, I realized if we lose the family and if we don't message the goodness of God's design for the family, then even if we win the pro-life issue, we won't have whole families for children to be born into. So God just really put that on my heart, and He put on my heart the need for the long-term messaging of the family and the goodness of God's design for it.
It's important for us to understand what you're talking about when you say messaging, Aaron, because I know a lot of people are standing at the culture, and we really are. Take, for example, same-sex marriage. A lot of people in the body of Christ said, well, we should be against same-sex marriage because the Bible says, and that's it. And then we began to realize, well, wait a minute, there's a whole bunch of people in the culture who don't play by those rules anymore. And then we're left to stand and kind of shake our heads and ask, how in the world did that happen? Now, you're talking about messaging. Give us an example of the kind of messaging that has happened in the culture that many people in the body of Christ didn't even realize was going on, but it's been kind of in the works behind the scenes.
Sure. It's really important to understand that those who have different ideas of what the design for the family should look like have been strategically and long-term messaging their ideas in the culture. We're seeing the fruition of those long-term messaging plans that were created, for instance, as you said, with the same-sex agenda, created in 1987, a messaging plan called the Overhauling of Straight America that said, first, we're going to become visible. Then we are going to make ourselves look like victims. Then we'll make ourselves look normal. Then we'll make us look like heroes. And then we'll make those who oppose us look like villains. That's where we are in the process of their messaging plan. We're at the villainy portion of it. That was a strategic, long-term plan that they have carried out. And we need to also communicate the goodness of God's design for the family in a strategic, long-term, committed way, like those who have communicated about what they believe that differs from God's design for the family.
That's a fascinating explanation, Aaron, because I think about the fact that so many people I know in the body of Christ will look at, you know, the same-sex marriage issue, for example, and they'll say, wait a minute, I know people who are gay. I understand, you know, that there are some, you know, issues that we have, obviously, biblically, but I don't hate these people. When did I become a bad guy? And the way you described it just now is saying, well, of course we're the bad guys now, quote unquote, because this is the way the conversation has been going, and this is exactly what the LGBT lobby wanted. Back to 1980, this has been going on for 30 years.
Absolutely. Even just the fact that you used the term LGBT, that's a strategic message that they have communicated. So we used to say, you know, people who are attracted to the same sex, and now they have branded that whole movement, and our language has bought into that brand and has continued to support it. We need to have branding of our own that communicates the goodness of God's design, that people buy into the language of His design for the family.
Aaron Brownback is with us in studio today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and we're talking about messaging in the culture and how important it is. Aaron, I'm going to push back just a little bit here because, quite frankly, as a Christian, I don't want to have to brand myself. I don't want to have to come up with a messaging strategy. I mean, I love God, and we have religious liberty in America, and that's what I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking right now. I don't want to have to do this. What you're saying is we've kind of passed that point in the culture now where we really do need to be more strategic in the body of Christ, saying, okay, this is the way we present our message. Because, quite frankly, I kind of get the impression it's been really easy for us as Christ followers to just be Christians in America and not get hassled for our faith. Is
sure.
that an oversimplification?
No, over the last 200 years, it's been very easy to be a Christian and an American. Christian values and American values have looked very similar. But now, as those are starting to diverge, we have to be what the Bible calls us to, both innocent as doves and wise as serpents. And I would challenge anyone who says they don't want to participate in messaging the social issues of today and say, look at the ways your language has changed. We use much longer terms now than we used to use to describe Native American and African American, and there are language changes that are going on in the Department of Justice. They're changing the word criminal to justice-involved individual. And even the American Psychological Association is changing the word pedophile to a minor attracted person. These are all strategic messaging changes, and many of which we have already bought into and adopted. Many of us feel like, oh, we're not with the times, or we're not appropriate if we're using old terminology. We need to be as thoughtful about our terminology describing the family and God's design for it as others have been in describing the things that they care about. And that's what I've been working on, a long-term messaging plan for the family for us to carry out over the next several decades.
This plan that you're talking about is going to be very, very involved. Obviously, we've seen this with the same-sex marriage crowd that started 30 plus years ago. There's a long haul involved in this whole process. Where do you begin in this type of messaging? I mean, how do you get something like this started?
Well, I've been putting together a plan to test messaging every year over the next generation and to communicate that messaging throughout 11 different outlets. So from the church to education to the news media and entertainment media, social media, medicine, business, and on. Different strategic markets that we have to put the message through. And for the individual listening to this program, we need you to be communicating the message. We need champions of the message. We need people who will commit to communicating with the people in their lives, to teaching their children, to be intentional about how we're communicating God's design. If you're interested in finding the language to use around this issue, one place that you can go is to my website, aaronbrownback.com, or you can follow me on social media, on Facebook or on Twitter, and you'll see messaging that I'm putting out continually, looking for people to champion this issue with me, looking for organizations that will be allies in communicating the goodness of God's design in strategic language.
That strategic language is so important, Aaron, because I know that there are a lot of parents who listen to this program who are saying, it seems like we're losing the culture, it seems like we're losing the war, and then the solution has been, well, if we elect the right politicians, you know, if we make the right decisions, get out and vote and that type of thing. But there's a greater issue here at stake, and I want you to talk about families as they are right now, because there are a lot of people who think, well, obviously there's a family, my daughter and son-in-law just got married, and they're thinking about having a family, and that's going to involve a mom and a dad raising kids and going to school and, you know, finding a church, that type of thing. But the American version of the family has been so fractured over the years, and a lot of people are trying to find that one reason why it happened. I want you to talk about the breakdown of the family, even as it affects the church right now, and why it's so important for us to understand what happened before we start trying to fix the problem.
Sure. Well, family is the reflection of the Trinity, right? So gender reflects our own individual, it's our own individual reflection of God. He made them male and female in His image. Marriage is our relational reflection of God, and life and parenting is our creator reflection of God. And family is also the building block of society. We've seen that societies whose families crumble and collapse, those societies eventually fail. Over the last 50 years or so, since the sexual revolution and the rise of feminism in America, we have seen intentional attempts to deconstruct the family, to deconstruct the reflection of the Trinity in our culture. And we have to understand that a lot of these attempts to deconstruct have come about through strategic messaging plans. So, for instance, take abortion. Margaret Sanger and those who really promoted the abortion agenda, they messaged that strategically for a long time before it became acceptable in society. We've talked about the same-sex agenda and how in 1987 the overhauling of straight America was written. The gender confusion agenda, that really started being messaged in 1992. There's a lot of different messaging plans that have been implemented to deconstruct the family. And I don't think it's reasonable to say that everyone who is communicating something other than God's design for the family is trying to break down the family. I believe that they are trying to sit on God's throne. They want to be God in their own lives. And they are willing to do that at the cost of the family. They're willing to sacrifice the family to do that. And then I think there are some who are leaders in some of these movements who want to be God in other people's lives. They really do want the breakdown of the family because it puts them in a position of control and power and leadership. They get to define what reality is, which is what God does. And you can see that even in President Obama's recent mandate to schools saying you must allow students of any sex to use locker rooms and shower rooms and stay in hotel rooms with those of the opposite sex on field trips. They are trying to create, and you know, people are getting fined. People are getting fined for calling people by the gender that they don't identify as. If you get it wrong, you can be fined in a number of different corporations and businesses.
And in some cities, Aaron, just to interject, I believe the fines are in six-figure range. They're over $100,000 if you refer to somebody by the wrong gender identity or whatever it is. It's ludicrous to us who are thinking people, who are trying to be sensitive to other people's needs and desires. But, you know, Aaron, this issue reminds me of what Dr. Dobson wrote in his July newsletter. And I'm just going to read the first part of it here because it's a little humorous, but it also underscores the serious nature of what we're talking about. He wrote, "When I was in the third grade, I raised my hand one day and asked the teacher for permission to, quote unquote, go to the bathroom. She nodded. I hurried down the hallway. I opened the door designated boys. When I relieved myself, I ran back in the direction of my homeroom. But the doors to the hallway all looked alike, and I opened the wrong one. Two second-grade girls were standing in front of the stalls. Their mouths were open in disbelief, and they screamed, and the loudest voice said, 'You're in big trouble!' And the other one said, 'Get out of here!' And so I ran. And then I realized how much the world has changed, and now we have President Obama worried about transgender bathroom bills." And so Dr. Dobson continues, he wrote, "Before I close, let me address this obvious question. What drives the bathroom issue? Why is our chief executive officer, who is burdened by the cares of the world, so obsessed by the operation of school bathrooms throughout the nation?" Aaron, let me ask you that question since you study this. Why is the president so burdened with this?
So if you get to tell people what reality is, that makes you God. That makes you God in their lives. And there are people who are looking to be in that position to define reality, to say, it doesn't matter if you don't have a holistic marriage or a procreative marriage. We can call that marriage anyway. It doesn't matter if you were born as a man. We can call you a woman. And not only that, we can force others to call you a woman as well. I saw sort of a funny joke that said, had JFK in a picture, and it said, "President who put men on the moon." And then had President Obama next to it and said, "The president who put men in women's bathrooms." And it seems funny. It seemed like, you know, a joke. But the truth is, President Obama is working to redefine reality and to be the definer of that in our lives.
Aaron, that's a, a fascinating and insightful observation. And you're right, the humor is unfortunately painfully true when we think about the difference between President Kennedy and President Obama in that situation. Today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, Aaron Brownback is with us in studio. Aaron is the former director of marketing and communications for the Sanctity of Life Work for Alliance Defending Freedom, currently working on her PhD in social transformation. And the goal is doing research to focus on developing what she calls a forward-thinking plan for how to message God's design for the family in a way that will transform society over the next generation. And this concept of messaging, Aaron, just to summarize, we've seen this in the same-sex marriage conversation. We've seen this in the abortion conversation. We've seen this in the feminism conversation, too, where there's just enough encouraging signs to masquerade as what the real intent of the messaging is. And before you know it, we in the body of Christ can even get sucked in that undertow of believing that this was a groundswell movement, that there were so many people who were being so oppressed and heart burdened with the way things were, that we have to bring this change. I think the transgender bathroom issue, in all honesty, has done America a favor because so many people are asking the question, how many people are really impacted by this? Would you talk about that?
Yeah, people are saying about this bathroom issue, it's crazy, it's insane. And it's not. It's not crazy or insane. It's strategic, it's tactical. Mm-hmm. And it's fortunate that we're able to see exactly what is happening. I think prior to this, we were thinking, oh, this just impacts other people's lives. This isn't going to be my life that if two people of the same sex want to get married, it's not going to impact my life. But Roger, there are stages of the rise and fall of a nation. So nations often start out in bondage, and then there's great faith that swells, and that leads to courage, acts of courage, which leads to liberty. And liberty leads to abundance. And we tend to peak at abundance as nations, and everything goes downhill from there. Abundance leads to selfishness, which leads to apathy. And another term for apathy is tolerance. And apathy leads to anarchy, because if you tolerate everything, then you can't say that anything is wrong. And anarchy leads to dictatorship. Well, I believe this bathroom issue, this gender confusion issue that we're seeing messaged and mandated, has taken us from apathy to anarchy. Shortly after President Obama's mandate and Target's announcement, the Charlotte Observer put out a newspaper article that said, girls are just going to have to learn to become comfortable with seeing male genitals in the locker rooms.
Whoa.
That is a transition from apathy, I don't care about this because it doesn't affect me, to anarchy. Everyone's lives have to adjust to accommodate anyone else's reality or whim.
Hmm. So with 330 million people in the United States right now, if one person says, I don't like the law, the new reality, according to this type of messaging, is, well, you're just going to have to get over it, rather than saying, hey, wait a minute, this is one person complaining about this. Let's let common sense take over.
President Obama said that schools were in jeopardy of losing their federal funding if they didn't follow this mandate. He has also said it was a much less well-known portion of his mandate that said that all hospitals had to provide abortion services and complete gender reassignment services or risk losing Medicaid reimbursements.
So now they put the burden on the hospital.
Yes,
to do,
the hospital, the
too.
School, anyone who could they can influence with their finances in order to get this agenda carried through.
Incredible. Aaron Brownback with us in the studio today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and we're talking about messaging in the culture, something that Aaron has studied extensively for many, many years. And what was it like in your family, Aaron, growing up? I mean, because I would imagine dinnertime conversations must have been very, very interesting. Kind of like, I think about Pastor Rafael Cruz grilling his son Ted on the Constitution when he was 13 years of age. What was it like in the Brownback home growing up?
Well, both of my parents, their degrees are in counseling, so I was well counseled and had a lot of wisdom. My family's not perfect, but there has been a lot of growth through the years in our relationship, a lot of healing. And God has really used my family to point me toward Him. And as far as myself, I would love to have a family of my own. I'd love to be a wife and a mother, but that's not where God has me right now. And it has uniquely positioned me to be a voice in the family movement that's different from a lot of the voices out there. Many people who are messaging the family or talking about it in any way are doing it from within the context of what other people would think of the ideal, already having a spouse, already having children. And because I'm not coming from that perspective, it really uniquely positions me to carry out this strategic messaging plan of the goodness of God's design and be listened to by a lot of people who might write others off because they already have everything that you know, they're describing. And I'm saying this is still the ideal, even though it's not what I'm living every day.
Mm-hmm. But what you're talking about is kind of a countercultural message these days, isn't it? Saying there is an ideal, there is a standard. And the messaging that has been so successful on the left and those who are trying to deconstruct says, hey, wait a minute, there is no standard. The standard is my feelings right now. And I'll talk about the pushback on that.
Yeah, well, I think what you said at the end right there is exactly true. They are saying there is a standard. They're absolutely saying there is an ideal. They're just saying that I am the ideal. And my standard is the standard, because what they're saying is, I am God. That's exactly what we face in culture whenever we're in rebellion. It's because we want to be God. We want to sit on his throne. And so we want to say our message is the reality, when really God's message is the reality. And that's what we need to be clearly and thoughtfully communicating to this current generation.
Okay, well, let's talk about some practical steps then as we begin to close this part of the segment, Aaron. There are people who have been listening to us right now, moms and dads. I probably more moms than dads are hearing this and saying, oh, my goodness, this sounds like such an insurmountable problem here. I mean, identification, I think, is a good, helpful first step. But how do we start in our own families, in our marriages, and with our relationships with our kids? How do we start taking some steps? What's a good first step for a parent to take right now that says, okay, I know that this is a problem as far as messaging goes. How can I turn the course in my own home because my kids are being influenced by this at school and in the culture?
So it's really important to be a student of history and to understand what has happened in cultures in the past. So I really encourage you to look at The Rise and Fall of a Nation. Just Google that, or you can go to my website and find more information about that. And then look at how we peak at abundance and how easy it is for us to slide downhill from there. So teach your children how to manage abundance. Teach them to fast and to intentionally put aside satisfying every desire and every whim, and learn to have satisfaction in developing that discipline. That will help tremendously to keep them from sort of sliding down that cultural decline. Then do everything that you can to become a one-income family. It's critical for there to be someone at home raising your children. Otherwise, it's the government and it's the schools that are raising them and that are teaching them values. So do what you can to not pursue abundance over investing in your own kids. Communicate with your neighbors, communicate with your politicians, communicate with journalists. My mom, who is not politically inclined, has written 6 letters to the editor, all of which have been published over this last year, all about these social issues. I'm so proud of her.
Yes.
So just communicate. Communicate with your hairdresser. Write a letter to your newspaper. And then learn the language. Become a champion of this messaging movement. Come to my website. You can sign up to find more messaging or follow me on social media, and you can see the messages I put out. If you're a pastor, if you're a writer, it's a great place to pull those messages from and incorporate them in the communication that you do.
It's amazing how the social media world, especially I think of Twitter, and how much there's such a volume of misinformation that goes out on Twitter to get people who can learn how to speak that language and start messaging the proper way. That's a great social media vehicle. Aaron, I know that you use it, and we'll have those links up at our website as well here too. Well, we're coming to the midpoint of our conversation here, and lest you think that this is all gloom and doom, I know Aaron has been passionately involved in moving forward with a messaging campaign that's actually doing some good. And we'd like to have you back on the program next time, Aaron, to talk about what's happening in the pro-life movement and how the messaging that has worked to disrupt American life is actually being used in a way that's rebuilding biblical values. Can you come back and join us again next time?
Absolutely, Roger. Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Aaron Brownback today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. Dobson today and tomorrow. And what an eye-opening conversation we had. I'm sure it will give you new ways to talk about these issues with your kids and even with your friends. Now, if you want to hear more about Erin's research and also her plan for messaging the pro-family movement, visit her website, which is erinbrownback.com. We'll also post that link on our website at drjamesdobson.org. And while you're online with us, would you please consider how you can support the ministry of Family Talk? Your prayers are so invaluable to us, and your financial donations help us to bring you timely shows like the one that we just heard, or also classic shows that you know and love from Dr. Dobson. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825 to make a donation. Thank you so much for your generous financial support, and thanks for the prayers as well. Be sure to join us again tomorrow as Erin Brownback shows how Christians can use messaging to shape the world our children will inherit. We'll see you next time, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.